Well, here we are, the last Sunday of the liturgical year. So perhaps we could do some review or something of that nature, except review of 2020, I think, is a little premature. I think I want some space before I think about what's happened in this year, even though the first part of it, of course, was perfectly fine, speaking from a liturgical end of things. And so as I was thinking of Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, depending on which tradition you follow, gives it its name. The sermon title that came to mind and the notion that came to everything was Serving the King. So how do we serve the King? Well, just to make things crystal clear from the very beginning, I don't think anyone's going to be making a mistake here, but the King is God. We're not talking about any kind of temporal leader of any sort. We don't have a king. We've got a queen if we're in Canada. If we're anywhere else, we might not have a royal of any sort, but we're not talking about them. We're talking about God, the God with whom we have a relationship through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And of our texts today, the one that talks the most about it, at least from one perspective, is Ephesians. And it's not as direct as some other passages about God's kingship might be. But as I was looking at this part of a very tricky letter in many ways, what came back to me over and over again is these little pictures in Paul's letter about the two different ways serving the king or any king can be thought of. Because when we say serving the king, there are two things going on there. One is what we do for the king. That's our service. And the other is, as we serve the king, what does the king do for us? And Paul talks about both of these in his Ephesians passage. So as we take a look at Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, I was just going through it and I was looking for these two things, responsibilities, or the things on our side in our service, and then the things that God provides for us as his servants. And it begins with, I've heard of your faith. And our faith is something that we do as servants of the King. We have faith, Paul goes on to say, in the Lord Jesus. One of the ways that we can tell that we are serving the King is that we have faith in Jesus. And what does that mean? Well, it means that we do what Jesus says we should do. It means that we believe that when Jesus made statements that said he was the Son of God, we believe that. When Jesus said, this is what you do to follow me, we believe that and we do our best to do them. They're not easy. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind changes everything that we do, but how we think. And loving our neighbor as ourselves changes our interactions with everyone around us, whether it's something as simple as the person who hands our coffee through the window at Tim Hortons, or as significant as our most intimate and personal relationships. Our faith in the Lord Jesus is something that we need to be aware of and think about and work on. And then Paul goes on, and your love toward all the saints. Well, what does that mean? Well, what Paul's saying in particular is that he's heard of the Ephesians and how much they have faith in the Lord Jesus and how much they care for each other. Your love toward all the saints is something that we do. The apostle John, or the disciple John, in one of his letters says, how will they, answers the rhetorical question, how will they know that we love Jesus? By how much we love each other. The first hallmark of a servant of the King, as far as what we can easily see, is do we love those we're in communion with, or community with? Do we love the people we go to church with, the people we worship with, the people that we are connected with? Your love toward all the saints means not just the people that we see every Sunday by Zoom and in other times as we see in the pew down the way, but all the saints. And that includes everyone who's in a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And for that matter, it includes everyone, because we don't know who is a saint and who isn't. Of all the many things we're allowed to do, we are not allowed to decide who God is going to reach out to and empower to reach back. We love others as part of our service to the King. It begins with the saints that we know of and continues to those we don't know of because we simply can't know. And Paul is grateful for this. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. And then he goes on to say that he prays to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that that God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And this is the first of the other ways that serving God has an impact, has something for us. Because when we serve God in those ways that we've already talked about, what God does is he provides us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not easy having faith in the Lord Jesus all the time, and it's certainly not easy to love our neighbors as ourselves, is it? When we're going out for a walk and we see someone that, as far as we know, is able-bodied and has the time and hasn't shoveled their walk, and we have to step out onto the street to get by, or we have to be more careful, it can be hard for us to know what it is that might be going on and how we can interact with this person if we see them. Well, God gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom does not say yell at your neighbor about shoveling their walk. Wisdom will say different things to different people. But when we listen for this spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of God that comes from God, when we understand these kinds of things, they are gifts from God. I'm not very good at being patient with other drivers. I've worked on patience a lot, and I'm doing much better with human beings that I'm in sort of obvious connection with and can see face to face. But when I'm in the car, often I'm impatient. And every once in a while, I'm reminded of two things. The wisdom that comes from not assuming that other people are driving slowly just to annoy me. Okay, that's not really wisdom, that's just common sense. But every once in a while, I get what I'm tempted to call a revelation, that somebody else is doing what they're doing because that's what is best for them, that they're a little timid on a slippery road. And this doesn't come from my own goodwill towards them. It comes from somewhere else. And that's a small revelation, but I believe strongly that it's the Holy Spirit saying, think about this. Instead of just being instantly aggravated or impatient or anything else, think about this. And the Holy Spirit, because that's where that spirit of wisdom and revelation comes from, the Holy Spirit within us says, think about this, and you will be less impatient. And I am. Sometimes I'm a little embarrassed at first, but then I'm less impatient and I'm more tolerant of somebody else who could be doing what they're doing for excellent reasons that I simply don't know. And that spirit of wisdom and revelation builds into us coming to know him. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. That goes back to the faith that we have. That as we come to know him, this is one of the things that we do. We can't get to know anyone, human or God, if we don't put some work in. That doesn't mean that we have to do all the work, of course. When you get to know the neighbor who shovels or doesn't shovel, as the case might be, you need to do at least some things. You need to say hello when you have the opportunity. You need to give them a kind glance and a smile when you pass them in your car as you're driving by. That's the beginning of the process. And as we get to know our neighbors, so we can love them better, we're also getting to know God. Because part of loving our neighbor enhances our ability to understand God's purposes all over the place and see different perspectives. And that's what we do. That's our part of that, that we work at coming to know God through listening carefully to that Holy Spirit within us, telling us to be less impatient or telling us whatever it might be. But we also listen for that comfort that we sometimes get in the midst of a crisis or just a loss that comes from we don't know where, except we know it's God. Listening to those moments, listening to scripture when it comes alive for us, or in the words of another person. We are coming to know God, and that's our part. And so that, Paul goes on, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, that's another gift. The enlightenment of the eyes of our heart, when we are enlightened, that comes from somewhere else. Yes, we can work towards enlightenment, but enlightenment by its very definition is something that comes from the outside in, whether it's a physical light, you turn on a light and the light then enlightens you, or whether it's knowledge, that always comes from somewhere else. And in this case, the eyes of our heart being enlightened is another gift from God. The part of the reward, if you will, of our service, or just the enabling of our service, is that the eyes of our heart become enlightened. And from that, you may know what is the hope. Without hope, I'm not sure what we'd do. Well, we'd give up. Because without hope, there's no reason to keep going when things are difficult. But through this enlightenment, through the eyes of our heart being enlightened, we will then know this hope. And this is the hope to which God has called us. God has not called us to misery. He's not called us to disillusionment. He hasn't called us to despair. He's called us with hope to hopeful things. And Paul goes on. What is the hope to which he has called you? What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, among us? These are more gifts. What are these riches? Community? The love of people that we have encountered through our worship times? A new understanding of God and ourselves? All of these things are all riches that God provides for the saints, for us, for anyone who has that connection with God, who wants that connection with God, to anyone God has reached out to. Another gift, riches. What could be better than that? Ordinarily, we think of riches as things we can put in a bank account or something of that nature. But this is different. And not only do we have riches, Paul goes on, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us? These are the things that allow us to do all that we're being asked to do. He gives us the power to do them. God has never, ever asked anyone to do what is impossible. He asks us to do things that are impossible by ourselves, but not that are impossible with his hope, with his help, or with the help of the people in our community. That's the immeasurable greatness of his power for us. It's given to us to accomplish the things that we need to do, that we need to, well, have faith, love the saints, come to know him. And as we continue on, we drop down to verse 22. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body. That's the last part in this passage that we do, that's our part of serving this king, is being part of the church. First, the church that worships together in a particular place, or in this case, a distributed place online. And then beyond that, because the church is more than just our community of faith. Christ's body, which is the church, is everywhere. Everywhere and every time, is in all places and all things, whether we can see it or not, whether we're aware of it or not, whether we look and see there is God at work or not, God is still there and the church is still there. And sometimes we are called to be those people in ways that are dramatic and unmistakable. But even when we don't have that call, we are always called to be part of the church, his body. His body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, the body of Christ that is this mystical, mysterious connection between us and people we've never met and never will meet. But we are still part of the same community, larger than the community we can see on Zoom, larger than the community we can worship together with in the biggest of churches, because it's bigger than all of those things. Serving the king has responsibilities, to be sure. But no king, no good king, is going to only ask for service and not provide other things in return or even before. We've been given the opportunity to serve God. And even before we were able to reach out to God, God enabled us to reach out back. God enables us to do the things that we have been called to do so that we might be the church, that we might have the faith we need, that we might love those around us. All of those things are enabled by the God who loved us before we loved him. The God who loved us before we knew God at all. The God who reached out to us before the beginning of the world. And on this Christ the King Sunday, as we celebrate the reign of Christ, let's remember that, yes, we have responsibilities. We have things that we need to do. But God does so much more for us to enable us to do those things, even more than we can ask or imagine. Let us celebrate the end of this church year and move forward into the next one, knowing that we serve the King. Amen.